So, you know, I love going through these lists, you know, like right around Christmas time, we like to talk about, you know, obviously Christmas topics and fun holiday related topics. And this one we always do every year. We do this every year, talking about the most popular Christmas toys from each year. Now, if you guys have any stories about Christmas toys from the past or your favorite toy growing up, or maybe if you're a parent and you had to struggle or fight to get that unbelievably wanted toy that every kid in the world wanted, you can call us up, 312-981-7200. Share your toy stories with us. You can also text them as well, 312-981-7200. And I remember my friend Mr. Scott Oaken, as you know, Dan, used to work at Venture.
A.K.A. Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. He had a name tag that said Flavor Flav. And of course, the plastic hangers, these are $5,000 a piece, which is still one of my favorite stories. He was working at Venture when the Cabbage Patch kids broke and went nuts. And they opened the store one day, and there was an announcement that they had just ordered. They've got a new shipment in of the Cabbage Patch Kids dolls. And so there were people lined up outside the Venture. And this was the one at Harlem and Irving. And so he says that he saw the doors open up and people running full sprint towards the toy section to where the display of all the new Cabbage Patch Kids were. And he said he saw women like punching each other and pulling each other's hair and throwing each other down just to get these dolls. And they were gone within minutes. Like whatever small supply that they had shipped in, they were gone within minutes. And people were not happy. The women were slapping each other around. And he said he'd never seen anything like it. And I remember how ridiculously big those Cabbage Patch Kids were, man. That was crazy. That was crazy big. So, but now we're going to go back and tell you a little fun facts about some of the toys that were popular from whatever year. We're going back to 1963. 1963, the Easy Bake Oven. Here's a fun fact. The original Easy Bake Oven was heated by two 100-watt incandescent light bulbs. Now, the Easy Bake Oven is still around. They got to be still around.
They are.
Yeah. Esmeralda, did you ever have an Easy Bake Oven?
No.
Did you have interest in an Easy Bake Oven?
Probably.
Okay. 1963, it was the most popular Christmas toy, was the Easy Bake Oven. I'm assuming that that's right around the time it must have been invented, correct? The first time it was ever released. Because Easy Bake Ovens have been perennially popular. I mean, so I'm assuming that they show up in 1963, right around that time, and boom. Did anybody ever eat anything that came out of an Easy Bake Oven?
I have not.
You could actually like put stuff in there and it gets heated up by the light bulb.
I want to say I ate a cupcake out of one, but I think the cupcake was made before and just warmed up inside.
Oh, I see. So they wanted to just like fool you?
Right, like her mom made it and then they were at a party and, you know.
That has to be a more advanced one. Because wasn't it like a little
tiny... It was
tiny
a light bulb.
No, but it was like a little slip.
Yeah, you would slide it in.
Yeah, they're all very flat.
Very flat and thin, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Easy Bake Oven, 1963. 1964, G.I. Joe, baby. The real G.I. Joes, if we've talked about before, Dan. Not the little mini fake G.I. Joes, but the real ones.
Right.
Action figures already existed in 1964, but the G.I. Joe was a big deal because it had 21 movable parts, quote unquote. 21 movable parts? Hell, I don't even have 21 movable parts, and I'm a human. What? Good old G.I. Joes. That was the toy of my youth, was G.I. Joe. Without question, it was the toy. It was that and Hot Wheels. Those were the two, besides, you know, like board games and games and stuff to play. But those toys, the G.I. Joes and Hot Wheels were the two major toys of my youth. And my friends, we all love the Hot Wheels. We'd slap each other around with the Hot Wheels tracks, smack each other in the face with them. We'd set our G.I. Joes on fire and throw them at each other. It was fantastic. But G.I. Joe, 1964. And again, G.I. Joe continued to be popular all the way through, you know, I would imagine the 70s. And then when did the second series of G.I. Joe, that was an animated show, was it the 80s, Dan, that G.I. Joe?
Yeah, mid-80s to early 90s. Mm-hmm. So I would say the little ones came out before then because there was...
Was the TV show, the cartoon, based on the toys or vice versa?
I want to say that the TV show was based on like a 3 or 4 of the toys, and then they expanded the universe.
Okay. All right. I remember when that your generation of G.I. Joes came out. I was like an adult, and I'm like, that's not G.I. Joe. So it's weird. All right, 1965, that's the year of my birth, so the year that I was born in 1965, the most popular Christmas toy was the game of Operation. Esmeralda, did you ever play Operation?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I can't because I shake all the time.
So like, you would...
His nose would light up every single time I tried to play it.
So you killed him.
Because I'm a shaky dude. You know what I mean? Like, even at calm levels, I shake. Pretty, you know. I could not be a surgeon. I do not have a steady hand at all. And by the way, did you know what the name of the patient in Operation is? The dude on the table?
No.
Cavity Sam.
Cavity Sam. Goodness gracious. All right.
Well, he's got a lot of cavities all over his body that you got to dig in there.
That's true.
Pull out the funny bone and all that. Yeah, I was not real good at Operation. It was not a very successful game for me because I was a hyper kid. I'm still hyper, as you guys know. You know, people are stunned when I tell them that I don't do the caffeine. They're like, what are you talking about? You jump around and you talk like an idiot. And I do have the shakes. It used to be worse when I was younger. 1966, Twister was the big Christmas toy. Never been a fan of Twister. Esmeralda, are you a fan of Twister?
It's all right.
Yeah.
I've never been one to be like, yeah, let's play Twister.
Yeah, come on, man. Twister was originally, you know what the original name of the game was?
What's that?
Pretzel.
That makes, actually...
It does make, totally makes sense.
It's kind of a fun, did they get sued or something?
No. The original title was Pretzel. I guess they just changed it to Twister, and it was criticized in the 60s for being, quote-unquote, sex in a box by competitors. Sex in a box. I don't quite understand that. Why, because, like, men and women play it, and then they're all twisted up together? That's... I think these competitors...
Yeah, wasn't there a funny, like, Johnny Carson thing? Wasn't
the... Oh, there were a ton of Twister sketches and jokes over the years. Like, Do you mean a specific...
I think there was, like, a really infamous one where it was really starting to come out with somebody like a Dolly Parton or something like that.
It could have been... Well, Carol Wayne was the regular big-breasted woman who was featured in the sketches. Carol Wayne. She was the matinee lady when they would do Tea Time movie. So I would guess.
There we go. Johnny Carson played Twister on The Tonight Show in 1966, and the rest was history. Ava Gabor enticed Carson onto the board. And the next thing you know, the next morning, people were lined up 50 deep in line to purchase it.
Well, there it is, 1966. That's the same year, right, Dan? There you go. So Johnny Carson is responsible for the popularity of Twister. Yeah. All right. 1967, Battleship. That's still around. Fun fact, Battleship had existed as a pencil and paper game since the 30s when Milton Bradley released it as a board game in 1967. So it was a paper and pencil game. I used to love Battleship when I was a kid. Used to love playing Battleship. Did anybody ever have the electronic Battleship? You guys remember electronic Battleship?
I did not own. I played it, but I did not own it.
Where it would explode, like the... would make explosion sounds and light up. That was the future. I remember when Electronic Battleship came out, it was like, ooh, technology, ooh. So, All right, we got a break. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Most popular Christmas toys dating back a bunch of decades. We'll go through all of them and what was popular each year. And I want to hear your stories about maybe getting a toy for your kid that you had to get and they had to have, or your favorite toy growing up, or if you're curious about you know, what was the popular toy the year of your birth, call us or text us at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We got a, another battle of the celebrity name game coming up with Esmeralda and I. And Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday, Tuesdays. Miles, Maroon 5 featuring SZA with What Lovers Do. 312-981-7200, Two for Tuesday requests. And we are talking about most popular Christmas toys from the last 5 decades. We're going year by year to tell you what the most popular one, give you a little fun fact about each of those toys. It's Christmas time, and we always talk about this during Christmas time. We'd love to hear your stories about, you know, the toy, the dream toy that your kid had to have that you had to get, or a toy of your youth that you loved. 312-981-7200. Here's George on WGN. Hi, George.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
All right, so I feel kind of stupid saying the story, but so I got the like boys' equivalent of the Easy Bake Oven, which was like a creepy crawlers kind of oven thing, but you would make like worms and scorpions out of like gel, this gelatinous, gummy.
Yeah, I remember that.
My sister got an Easy Bake Oven, and I complained, so my mom bought me that, and I left it on overnight like an 8-year-old idiot. And so the next morning, we had a nice 2-foot by 2-foot square section of our orange shag carpet burned right down to the floorboard. The thing melted to the wood underneath the shag carpet.
Wow. Wow, there you go.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, the safety precautions in the 70s were not quite as important as now.
So, there were no safety precautions.
No, there was none. There was absolutely none. All right, George, thanks.
Have a good day.
Yeah, there you go. George almost burned the house down with his creepy crawlies. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've talked about this for years. Every time we talk about toys, it's just, you know, the fact that people around my age are still alive is astonishing, that we didn't kill ourselves when we were kids. You know, as an 8-year-old. Eight years old, I received a wood burning kit, which is essentially a soldering iron. You plug it in, the metal tip gets hotter than the surface of the sun, and then you burn wood with it. That 8-year olds were getting this. There's also the fantastic chemistry sets where you just drink everything. You're mixing a bunch of different liquids and you're just drinking them. And then, of course, you know, you got the Shrinky Dinks. Shrinky Dinks are where you would put plastic in an oven. Bake plastic, which is really healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Dangerous toys, man, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And we would make them even more dangerous because we'd beat the hell out of each other with them, my friends and I. Whacking each other with the Hot Wheel tracks. Frank says, I remember in the early 60s there was Weebles Wobbles. Weebles Wobbles, but they won't fall down. You guys remember the little Weebles?
No.
I do not.
They're like little characters that had they had faces and hands and stuff like that, and you could play with them and stuff, but they wouldn't fall down because the bottom of them were round. They were curved on the bottom, so you could push them and they would, you know, just, they would never fall down. They would wobble, but they would never fall down. And that was the appeal. That was the appeal. Oh, they won't fall down. Patrick says in 78 or 79, it had to be the Bionic Man with his bionic eye. Yeah, the $6 million man, he had like a bionic eye that you could look through. So there was like a hole in the back of his head. And it was just a regular, you know, G.I. Joe sized action figure with just this hole in his head and like just a piece of plastic for an eye. And then you would look through it and that would be your bionic eye. I had one of those. 630 area code says, my favorite, but I can't remember if it was, it was these tops that you would spin on a platform, and the winner was the last one standing. Oh, yeah, they were like battle. They were like, you would battle with tops. You'd be like, four guys would be on a table, and then like you would spin these tops, you would try to knock the other tops off the table. I can't remember the name of those things either, but I remember them.
There is a game called Battling Tops, just literally Battling Tops. So
that might be it?
That might be it.
Yeah.
Introduced in 1968.
That could be it. And what they do is you release your top, and they all spin, and then you know whoever's top is left on the table after knocking off the other three or three tops is the winner. Yeah. But the thing is, if you put some Weebles up there, they would not fall down. They would wobble. Here's Trucker Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How you doing tonight?
All right.
It only took 6 months, but finally got my voice back after surgery where I can talk.
All right. Good for you, man. Congratulations.
And my wife thinks that's a curse. But back when the Cabbage Patch Kid craze was on, I was driving a truck.
Yeah.
And I had a whole load of those Cabbage Patch dolls. And the Doc Foreman sold me a couple of them, but those things had more security on them than a load of beer I've ever hauled. You know?
Yeah. No, it's if people weren't around, Rich, you were around. You know, it was insane. I mean, Cabbage Patch thing was absolutely insane.
I remember there was I know this was a radio disc jockey stunt up in Wisconsin, Milwaukee County Stadium. They were talking about on the radio that there was a guy that had a World War II B-25 bomber, and on a certain day at noon, he was going to fly over Milwaukee County Stadium and do a bomb run of Cabbage Patch dolls. And they said on the news that stadium parking lot was cram-packed with people.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. Esmeralda, that was the year you were born. You were born in 83, right, Esmeralda?
Yep.
Yeah, that was the year of the Cabbage Patch Kid. That's the Christmas toy that was popular the year you were born. It's one of the most insane, you know, toy popularity of all time.
And I'm 62, and my uncle re-gifted me a Christmas present of a chemistry set, and I can't remember the name of it. But it had actual uranium in it.
Yep.
Radioactive uranium. Yeah. And you could send off to get more radioactive material for your experiments.
That's absolutely true, man. That's absolutely true. God. Did you ever have a wood-burning kit, Rich?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I engraved my name in the woodwork of the house.
Sure. All over the house. If you had a little sister, let's see what this does to my sister's doll. You know, and you melt the face of the doll.
Yep. G.I. Joe on a little toy tricycle with a wood-burning kit tied underneath his arm, charging at my sister's dolls like some kind of nuclear gladiator.
That's great. All right, Rich, thanks, man. Have a great night.
Yep. You too.
All right, buddy. There you go. All right, we're talking toys. It's Christmas time. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is up next. Weird Al, genius. Genius. it's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Steve from Portage, Weird Al with Yoda. Genius. Weird Al. So we're talking about the most popular Christmas toys from each year, and we're up to 1967 here, which did Battleship. 68, Hot Wheels. That was the deal, man. When I was a kid, the deal. There were 16 cars in the original Hot Wheels lineup. They were all based on actual customized vehicles. The Beatnik Bandit, the Diora, the Ford J car, the Hot Heap, the Python, the Silhouette, the Custom Barracuda, and Custom Corvette, Camaro, Fleetside, Mustang, Eldorado, Thunderbird, Volkswagen, and Firebird. Today, there are more Hot Wheels models than real cars in the world, with an estimated 4 billion toy cars in existence. 1969, most popular, the chemistry set, which we were just talking about. The popularity of chemistry sets is significant because it marks the first time American toys were marketed with the goal of, quote-unquote, improving children for success later in life. By poisoning them. they're going to learn the procedure of stomach pumping. That's what they're going to learn. 1970, Light Bright. Did you guys ever have Light Bright when you were a kid? No, you guys, you're too young.
No, I had it.
You had the Light Bright?
I did. We actually got an old school version of it that we have in our basement right now.
You still have it?
It wasn't mine, but we got from somebody who was cleaning out their attic and they gave it to us.
Yeah.
I never had one. I had friends who had one, though.
Yeah, the Light Bright. That's another thing. You could eat those little plastic things.
Why? What?
Because you're a kid. You stick
what
it
do
in
you
your
mean?
Mouth. You're a little kid. Little kids can eat it. You would never be able to sell that now.
Yeah,
anything
but, like,
that's small.
You only did that because you got smacked in the head so much.
Yeah.
You lost all concept of things that might be dangerous.
Well, I'd say like real little kids might put it in their mouths, but they probably shouldn't be playing with Light Brights.
It's true.
How old were you that you were eating Light Bright bulbs?
26.
That makes sense.
If you don't have to worry about losing all the pegs these days, there's Light Bright iPad. So you have an iPad app for Light Bright. That's no fun. That's not fun. 1971, Space Hoppers. I do not remember Space Hoppers. Space Hoppers was a popular term in the UK, while in the US they were commonly referred to as hippity hops or hop balls. What the? Hop balls? What are hop balls?
They're the big rubber.
Oh, that you sit on?
Right, and have
the
handle.
Oh, they're the little handle. Okay. Space hoppers? I've never heard that. I've never heard that term before. I guess hippity hop is what they were, I remember them being called. All right. 1972, Uno. A barbershop owner thought up Uno and originally sold the game out of his barbershop. Ooh. 1973, walkie-talkie sets. Yeah, the first walkie-talkies were developed during World War II. Became very popular. 1974, Tonka toy trucks. The name comes from the Dakota Sioux word Tonka, or Tonka, which means great or big. Tonkas are still popular, right? Tonka, I mean, the Tonka trucks, they've got to be around, right?
I had them. I know that.
Yeah.
I think they won't go away. Little boys will forever.
Oh, yeah.
Want to play with trucks.
Absolutely. No question about it. 1975, the Pet Rock. Oh, my God. I got to say, I had a Pet Rock. Only in the 70s, man. Only in the 70s would somebody buy a Pet Rock. Pet Rocks were sold and were only wildly popular for about 6 months. But 1.5 million of them were sold at $4 each during that time. And it made Gary Dahl a millionaire. Gary Dahl, that's an interesting combination of names right there. It's only one R in this Gary, though. Wow. I had a Pet Rock. Yeah, see, you know, Gary Dahl blew a bunch of weed and went, I'm going to sell rocks to people. And then everybody else, because they were blowing a bunch of weed, bought him. That's pretty much how it worked. Let's see. You got a bunch of texts coming in, and we'll get to those in a second. 1976, Kinect 4 was the most popular Christmas toy. I loved Kinect 4. Did you guys ever play Kinect 4?
I did, yeah.
You know the best part.
Of course.
You know the best part of it was opening the bottom after you played, and all the chips would fly out. Then you would smash the guy who you were playing over the head with the board.
And then just stab him with that side leg.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was back when he was less crazy, but apparently Kanye West used to have massive, very intense Kinect 4 games backstage.
Come
with
on.
People.
Well, yeah, there's pictures
of Kanye West playing Kinect 4.
Yeah, with Beyonce.
Oh my God. All right. 1977. Oh, this is obvious. It's Star Wars. Star Wars action figures and figurines. Demand for Star Wars action figures was incredibly high around the holidays of 77, so Kenner created an early bird package, which means kids could send away for the first four action figures and receive them in early 1978. After that, eight more action figures were released. The original figurines retailed at $9.99 are now worth a ton of money. Hey, by the way, I want to let everybody know that Monday morning, the 18th, we will have Colin Suter and Eric Childress in, bringing in all of their Star Wars stuff like they did last year and the year before. because The Last Jedi opens on the 15th, and we're going to review it on Monday morning, the 18th. So Esmeralda, they're going to have that little BB-8. Colin's going to bring that little BB-8 and have it roll around the studio.
Oh.
And go beep boop doop beep boop.
Is he, have they had toys with that weird bird thing?
Weird bird? Oh, you mean the new?
Yeah, whatever
the
that
new
bird,
creature?
Bird.
What is that new creature called?
Earless bird thing.
The one that goes, during the trailer. It's got a name. They've already.
I'm sure it has a name.
Yeah, and I'm sure. I'm positive people already have that, though. I'm positive it's already out. I have no question in my mind. But it did have a name. I want to say it was like a Womp. Womp or something. I think it's like the Womp. Hey, Dan, can you find out what the name of this new creature is?
Oh, it's a Porg.
Porg. That's it. Porg.
I Googled bird thing Star Wars.
And it kind of immediately came up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a Porg.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the new sensation right there. You want to talk about 2017. You want to talk about Christmas toy, the Porg, baby. Everybody's going to want a Porg. 773 area code says, do you or your mom save your G.I. Joe or your Hot Wheels? My son's your age and I still have a few. My sons are your age and I still have a few. I don't think so, man. I think they're all gone. I'm pretty sure they're all gone. I mean, I destroyed half of my G.I. Joe. I destroyed half of my G.I. Joes. As you can tell, I was a pretty destructive kid. You're just too busy smacking my friends in the face with them and stuff. Kevin says, let's not forget lawn darts. Yeah, great way to kill everybody. Lose an eye, stab a foot. They're also called jarts. You ever play lawn darts, Esmeralda?
No.
You know, they're illegal.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you can order them only in parts so that you have to assemble them yourselves. But you cannot order. It's illegal to actually sell or buy fully assembled lawn darts, but you can buy them in little components.
So they just hope that people will just get real lazy about it.
Right.
Be like, ah,
no, it's just a way of getting around the law. You know what I mean? Duke in Colorado says mine was a 1972 G.I. Joe Desert Commando with a dune buggy Jeep. And you are coming over loud and clear over the radio in Colorado. All right, Duke. Thanks for listening. We're all the way in Colorado, Esmeralda. They can hear us.
Very good.
Yeah. The G.I. Joe Desert Commando with the dune buggy Jeep. Oh, man, those things were so cool. Robert, how about Stretch Armstrong? You guys remember Stretch Armstrong? Esmeralda, you remember Stretch Armstrong?
Oh, yeah.
And Dan, you remember Stretch Armstrong?
Sure.
Didn't you cut him open?
Yes, we did. To see the goo. And I also got busted at a... I want to say it was like a community or a Kmart or one of those kind of places. My friend and I went, and we took two Stretch Armstrongs, and we stretched them out and tied them so it blocked the aisles. At either end of the aisle, we just stretched out his arms and tied his hands so that the aisle was blocked, and then the security guy saw us doing it and took us into the back and tried to scare us. But, yeah, that was another thing that I used to do. We used to go into my friend Dan Long, not Dan Long that works here, but my friend Dan Long's garage with an axe, and we'd chop stuff open to see what was inside.
How big was the axe?
It was a pretty good size. It was a pretty good size.
Oh, gosh. Whose axe was it?
What is his dad's? It was kept in the garage with, like, all the other weird tools and lawnmowers and stuff. So we went back there, and it was like, you know, they had the cement floor in the garage. And one of the first things we ever tried to cut open with the axe was golf balls because we wanted to see what was inside a golf ball. So we spent, like, 45 minutes in the garage with an axe, each of us trying to chop a golf ball, and, like, sparks are flying because we're hitting the cement floor of the garage, and we're causing sparks to fly.
Yeah, I'm assuming you guys didn't think to, you know, put it somewhere so it would hold it down.
No, we were just, we put it down on the, and then just try to chop it. And we weren't too bright. I mean, we were like 11. We're like 11 years old. We're in a garage with an axe trying to chop golf balls in half. And we did. We succeeded. And it was like, you ever see what's inside a golf ball?
Is it string?
It's like really, really tightly wound string. And if you chop it in half, it opens up. It goes, because it's so condensed. It all just kind of, it's like, you know, when you make noodles,
mm-hmm.
you know, Asian noodles, and you throw it in and it pops up. You know what I'm talking about? Those dry noodles that you throw into the oil and then they suddenly become like 10 times bigger. That's exactly what happened when we chopped the golf ball in half with our axe. And that's how that's what we did with Stretch Armstrong. Used an axe on Stretch Armstrong to see what's inside him. Yeah, it was in the 70s, man. Parents didn't care. They were drinking Yago Sangria. They didn't care. They're all sitting in the house smoking cools, drinking Yago Sangria. Meanwhile, we're running around with hatchets trying to cut golf balls in half. That's my childhood, man. All right, we have to break. Yeah.
That's right, Al.
Weird Al rules. It's Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday, yeah. 312-981-7200. Steve from Portage, that's our second in the twofer. Weird Al, I lost on Jeopardy. And we are talking about toys and popular Christmas toys. It's that time of year. A little while, we are going to play another round of Celebrity Name Game. Esmeralda and I will do that. Okay, 1978, Simon. You remember that game, Dan? Simon?
Oh, sure.
That was a very popular game.
Very popular.
This is a fun fact. Simon was launched at Studio 54 in New York City. It was launched at the cocaine disco haven, Studio 54. I wonder if Andy Warhol was there for the opening. Launched at Studio 54 in 1978. It retailed for $24.99, which is over $90 today for Simon. 1979, Atari VCS. Over 1 million Ataris were sold in 1979, and the console was the best-selling gift of that holiday season. I remember there was a game on Atari, in the original Atari, called Warlords. That was the coolest game. I can't remember exactly how you played it, but you had your joystick and your little button, and you were shooting. I mean, it was obviously very primitive in terms of graphics because it was, you know, Atari 1979. 1980, the Rubik's Cube. That seems a little early. I just remember the Rubik's Cube being really popular in like 83, 84, but 80. The Rubik's Cube is widely recognized as the world's top-selling puzzle game and toy. As back in 2009, over 350 million had been sold worldwide. Yeah, that's another thing I used to throw against the wall because I'd get so frustrated trying to figure it out. Rubik's Cube. Just take the stickers off. Just take the stickers off and move the stickers so it's all one color on each side. That's how you solve it. All right, Dan, the year of your birth, 1981. The Lego train. Lego's first powered train was introduced in 1966, but the version that debuted in 1980 had far more bells and whistles and was the biggest toy of 81. And Legos, man. Boy, Legos never waned in popularity, did they? And they're bigger now than they ever were.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they're making, you know, $60 million budgeted movies now.
Right.
82, how about this one, Dan? Come on now. BMX bike. You had to have a BMX. Did you ever have a BMX bike?
Sure, yeah.
Jumping around with them. What was the name of that movie with the BMX bikers? It was very popular, like, in the mid-80s. Esmeralda, you remember? It was like
No. Wasn't there one with Andy Samberg?
Well, wait a minute. Are you talking about the movie he made where he was the stunt guy, where he was trying to be like Evel Knievel? Yeah, that's a funny movie. And why can't I remember the name of that movie? It's a one-name superstar. No, superstar is Mary Catherine Gallagher.
First, you're thinking of Rad, I believe.
Oh, yeah, Rad was the... that's it, man. Yeah, Rad, man. Yeah, Rad.
And Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. That movie rules, Esmeralda.
Wasn't he on a BMX bike, though?
Yeah, he was. He was like, he was trying to be like a stunt guy. He was trying to be like Evel Knievel. I don't know. How did they get Ian McShane to play his father in that movie? How did that happen? Uh, 1983, we mentioned the Cabbage Patch Kids. They were originally called the Little People, and then they changed their name.
Cabbage Patch Kids?
They were originally called the Little People.
Yeah, but they're not little people. They're babies.
Yeah. But they're little.
But they're babies.
But babies are little people. They're people, and they're little.
They're cabbage people. They were born on cabbage.
Yeah, right.
Patches.
Didn't they sprout from the ground or something? Isn't that how they were? And you got a birth certificate with each kid,
and
right?
And they got the creators. Their name was tattooed on their butts, which is the oddest thing.
So the kid's name was tattooed on the kid's butt?
No, the owner. So, or not the owner,
the designer?
The creator.
Oh, okay.
His name was tattooed on their butt.
That's nice. 1984, Transformers. Transformers, a Japanese creation made by the toy manufacturer Takara. Dan, I know that Transformers was big when you were a kid, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just the actual, much like the G.I. Joes, you had the massive ones and then you had the smaller ones.
Right.
Books and the TV show.
Yeah. All right.
What was your favorite, Dan?
Optimus Prime?
No. The actual one with I had for was a tractor, which I got at a ball game when we were in Puerto Rico that I played with incessantly because I didn't have any other toys there.
Oh, was that even a real Transformer?
It probably was.
Was it? I was going to say it was like a knockoff.
Yeah.
In the shape of a tractor. What?
I had the lawnmower Transformer. That's a... By the way, Dan, you've seen these websites where they have the knockoff versions of stuff.
Yeah.
So funny. Great. Esmeralda, I'm sure you've gone down that wormhole.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Oh, yeah, no, that you really, those. It's a wormhole, man. It is an internet wormhole to find all these knockoff toys and knockoff items and knockoff food. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Didn't we go through a list or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, there was like remember, what was RoboCop? Robot?
Oh, right.
It was the best one, too. The knockoff of RoboCop was like Robot Cop or something. Or oh, my God. Those are so funny. Ridiculous. All right, we had a break. Hang on, everybody. We got texts coming in. We're talking about toys. We got many more years to go through for the most popular Christmas toys. It's Christmas time, and we're talking toys. 312-981-7200. The news is next. Dan, as soon as I heard, you know, the opening of it, and I knew it was Gordon Lightfoot, I was like, it's got to be Canadian Bill. It's got to be Canadian Bill, and it is Canadian Bill requesting Gordon Lightfoot with Sundown. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How you doing, everybody? It's Nick DiGilio. Listen, after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I haven't played Celebrity Name Game in a while, so we're going to do that and give each other clues and try to guess names of celebrities, and Dan will keep track of the time and the score, and yeah, so that's coming up. How you doing, everybody? We're here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We talk about this every year. It's Christmas time, and we are talking about the Christmas toys from each year that were the most popular of those years. And just reminiscing about toys in general, we got a bunch of texts coming in, some people on the line. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
About 2 years before you were born, there were two unique toys on the market. One was called the Playmobil, and the other one was called Jimmy Jet. And they were like precursors of video games.
Okay.
They had a steering wheel, and they had a screen, and they kind of had a rolling diorama behind the screen. And Jimmy Jet had a little jet that flew over like a ground or a landing field.
Oh, wow.
And the Playmobil had a landscape that simulated a car going down the road.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, were they powered by anything? Were they electric or?
Yeah. I think you had to plug them in or get a battery. I think they were made by a company called Elizabeth out of New Jersey, and they were advertised on television, but they disappeared after the 60s. This is long before there were microchips.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. That's pretty cool.
There were also two other games were Mr. Machine, which was like a robot. It had a bunch of gears in it, and the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots, from my childhood, I had the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They were great. I love the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They were great.
Yeah.
So, all right, John, thanks for the call.
I didn't make them yet.
I still think, I think Rock'em Sock'em Robots are still around. I'm pretty sure they are.
But I think they're smaller, too, almost like little G.I. Joes.
Yeah, well, they make everything smaller now, don't they?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, John, thank you, sir.
Okay, bye, Nick.
Take care, buddy. 312-981-7200. We got some texts here. Let me get to some of those. 440 area code says the best toy of 1962 was the Cape Canaveral missile kit. It would fire off metal missiles with rubber tips on them from the control panel. That was back when you can have projectiles flying out of toys, taking out eyes. 312, Rock'em Sock'em Robot, 708 area code says, I had fun trapping all sorts of things in my plastic, using my Vacuform. Yeah, the Vacuform. You could put your sister's dolls under it.
What was the purpose?
It's to Vacuform things.
Yeah, but then what would happen?
You would Vacuform them.
And that's it?
Yeah.
And then go, look at this.
Mm-hmm. Then you would just vacu-seal it. But then you would have, like, whatever, on your Vacuform, you would have whatever the shape of that thing was. So you could, if you take the thing out, then you have the shape of it.
Oh, and
like
a
mold.
And if you put clay or something.
Yeah, you could make it, yeah.
Okay.
That's also a thing that they do with special makeup effects.
Right.
They use that a lot because, you know, I watch Face Off, which is, you know, one of my favorite shows. Hey, by the way, speaking of reality TV, Esmeralda. Thursday, Top Chef Colorado, all new.
Oh, right. I saw that they were starting up again.
Oh, my God.
I saw what's-his-face.
Who? Galicchio?
That guy I hate. The chef with the hair.
The chef with the hair?
Yeah, they almost shaved his head, that guy.
Wait a minute. Wait, is he a judge?
I don't know. He was like on, I think it's an online thing.
Your Last Chance Kitchen?
Something like that.
Who is he? You got to remind me who he is. He's got
the
hair.
The guy with the hair, and he was a big old jerk. And they almost shaved his head.
Marcel.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Marcel.
I don't know what it was. It was like a quick Facebook ad.
Oh, okay.
But it was all.
Marcel comes back every once in a while as like a guest judge, you know, during the season. They bring in everybody during the season. I'm so excited. I get so excited. I've already got, because, you know, they did a 10-minute preview on Bravo, and I, you know, it's on my DVR. And so I already got my cheat sheet going. You know how I watch Top
Chef?
Yeah,
that's right.
I got my cheat sheet going.
Wow.
I got the names, everybody. So, getting ready for Top Chef. I am such a dork. I love that show. 708 area code says, I chipped my tooth and my friend broke his arm on the same day one summer when we decided to do braking skids on G.I. Joe's with our Stingray bikes. That's it, man. That's it. That's how we grew up. Chipping tooth, slipping, busting your face open. When we weren't hurting each other with Hot Wheel tracks and, you know, firecrackers and stuff, we were hurting ourselves on bikes, smashing into walls, busting our teeth out. Oh, yeah. Kaylee says that the Cabbage Patch Kid giveaway back in Milwaukee was actually true. People showed up with their credit cards, which was taken with a zoom lens. I loved my green machine growing up. We talked about the green machine in the past. People were very jealous of, because, you know, I had a big wheel. And the kid down the block, he had a green machine. Very jealous of the green machine. People who had kids who only had the big wheel were envious of the green machine because the green machine was cool. 815, greatest game ever is Candyland. Lee says the best was the Evel Knievel trail bike. Oh, that thing was amazing. We used to light it on fire. See, I'm not the only one, man. You guys think I'm crazy. It's not just me. It's not. There's a generation of people around my age who set stuff on fire and smacked each other in the face with their toys constantly. We used to light it on fire, and we threw it into walls and beat him up until the wire was sticking out through his skin. It was fast, too, until the plastic teeth were worn out on the bike launch. I had many of those. Well, yeah, you had to. You were going through them every week. You probably went through an Evel Knievel bike. Kathleen says click-clacks. You guys know what click-clacks are? You familiar with click-clacks?
It's not that thing where it's like you hold it in your hand and just slap it back and forth.
Well, there you go. Welcome to Friday morning. It's a string that you hold, and dangling at the bottom of the two string, or it's one string, but it's folded in the middle. Dangling at the bottom are two basically ceramic balls.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And then you try to get them to clank back and forth. But otherwise, you know, you either smack yourself in the groin and never have children, or you bust out people's faces and teeth. I mean, seriously, one of the most dangerous 20s ever. You've got these two big plastic hard balls that are you're trying to clang back and forth, but inevitably you don't, and you hit yourself in the groinal area, or you smack your friend in the face.
See, now I'm looking at it on I Googled it.
Yeah.
And I had the safer version, which was those but hard plastic, and then they were they look like two flags with then the round ball at the ends on a stick, and then you just and then they click.
Oh right, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they don't go flying around. So
yeah, but these things, these click clacks, these click clacks were big and they could cause damage.
Yeah, this is like the safe version.
Yeah,
this is what they figured will replace that.
815 area code. Super balls were fun because they bounced a mile high. You know, if you guys. Dan, you know this. I don't know if you, if Esmeralda, if you know this. My dad has been in the, he still does from home for a small company. My dad still does vending sales. He's been in the vending business. My dad's been in the vending business for over 50 years. And he used to work at a place called Victor Vending on the northwest side of Chicago that made all the gumball machines and all the vending machines. So, you know, you put the quarter in, you know, those big console gumball machines that had about six different panels,
mm-hmm.
and you could put the quarter in and twist it, and the little capsule would come out, the little plastic capsule with the lid, and the little item would be inside it. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Well, my dad worked for the company that made those machines, the vending machines, and made the capsules. So these giant sheets of plastic would go through these machines and punch out the, very much like a vacuum form, Esmeralda, and punch out these little capsules that they would put the items in. And my dad would come home sometimes with sacks of gumballs and, like, whatever else they would stick into the thing. So my dad's been doing vending for years, and he used to bring home the Super Balls because there was a period of time when Super Balls were being sold in vending machines all over the place, and I had, like, 800 Super Balls. And I would bounce them around the, room. And they would smash into, you know, plates and stuff, and they would bounce like all, like you could just slam it against the wall, and it would bounce for about 20 minutes, just banging off of a wall, then the floor, then the ceiling, then the wall, floor, ceiling, through a window, you know.
Yeah, my my dog growing up swallowed one.
Oh no! Oh no!
And he needed surgery.
Oh no!
Yeah, because he's a moron.
Okay, we got a break here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about toys here, and then we'll get into some celebrity name game as well. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, 312-981-7200. Canadian Bill requesting Gordon Lightfoot, Carefree Highway. Alrighty then. Coming up in just a few minutes, Esmeralda and I will be doing a little celebrity name game challenge. That's coming up, but we're wrapping up the most popular Christmas toys of each year. 1985 Nintendo. 1986 laser tag. Did anybody have the laser tag home stuff? Dan, did you ever have laser tag? I went to laser tag like at a where they would have laser tag at a storefront or, you know, in a village.
I didn't personally own it, but I knew like one of my rich friends had it. And
yeah.
We played it at his birthday party.
It was something that you would just put on your chest, right? And it would
right.
light up?
Right.
Okay. Jenga. Another game I'm not particularly strong at considering how nice and shaky I am.
Can anyone really win? Not like can anyone win, because of course someone will win, but, you know, it never turns out well. Can that game go?
It always ends with the thing spilling, with
right,
the tower spilling.
Right, but it's always just like, I always find it so defeating.
Just because that's how it ends?
Well, no, just like, it doesn't take much, and then it's like, oh, well, you lost, you loser.
Yeah.
You knocked all these things. It's not a very long game. And I feel like after a certain point, it's just luck.
Well,
there's really no strategy anymore in my mind.
You have to study structural consistency.
Like once you pop the ones from the middle, you're good.
Yeah.
You're done. It's going to fall over.
Well, what you want to do is do those before the opponent is next. So with the next move they make, the whole thing goes down and then you laugh in their faces.
See, to me, it's very much like tic-tac-toe.
No, I don't think it's as
like once
pointless.
You hit the one, you're like, well, I'm
going
to lose.
That's not as pointless as tic-tac-toe. So. And you know that the Whopper had to learn that, Dan, in War Games.
That's right.
The Whopper had to learn that tic-tac-toe is not a good game. It's, you know, it's a tic-tac-toe is just as pointless as thermonuclear war. I don't know if you know that or not, but I learned that from that movie. God, Dabney Coleman rules in it. You know, Dabney Coleman rules. That's all I'm saying. We should do an entire show dedicated to Dabney Coleman one morning.
I mean, we did have David Caruso appreciation morning the other day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. 88, starting lineup sports action figures. 89, the Game Boy. Didn't the Game Boy come with Tetris? Didn't you get Tetris?
It did, yes.
Well, here you go. 1990, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Dan, you had to be all over that.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the interesting things about this list, because obviously the year you're born is interesting, but then 8, 9, 10 years later when you're really into Christmas.
Right. 91 was Super Nintendo. It was sold for $199 when it was first released. 1992, Barbie Dreamhouse. The Barbie Dreamhouse wasn't around before 1992? Or maybe it was just incredibly popular that year.
I think it's the souped-up version.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had, I don't know when this was. This was around that time. I had Scenarios. I only had one of them, but she was a travel agent, and it came with, it was a travel agent set, and it just came with essentially like just a cardboard thing you would set up.
Mm-hmm. And she was in a travel, she was like in it was an office?
Yeah, and there's folders. There's file folders that you would hang on a thing and a desk.
That
and,
sounds fun.
Yeah. And posters that said, like, Hawaii, you know, like in a travel agency.
Wow, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it was real stupid.
Nothing kids like more than playing travel agency.
Well, that's what I got, and that's what I would do.
All right. 1993, The Talk Boy. What? The Talk Boy was originally conceived as a non-working prop for the 1992 movie Home Alone 2 Lost in New York, but it was released the same day as the movie. I don't even understand what that means. I've only seen Home Alone 2, you know, just the one time.
It's a recorder.
So it's like a...
It's a tape recorder.
Tape recorder, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
94, The Power Rangers. Any of these, Esmeralda, you were popular? Did you like The Power Rangers, Esmeralda, when you were a kid?
No.
No?
Not really.
How about Beanie Babies?
No, I never got into that craze. I think because I had no money. So
you were too busy playing travel agent.
Right. My parents weren't going to buy me some stuffed toy monkeys or whatever they were.
Monkeys?
Yeah, they had monkeys and all different animals for the Beanie Babies.
How about this one? 1996, Tickle Me Elmo. That was huge.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge. It says right here, fun fact, two women were arrested in Chicago for fighting over a Tickle Me Elmo.
I'm amazed there's only one.
Yeah. Right here in Chicago, we should be proud of that.
I think there'd be multiple arrests.
1997, Tamagotchi.
See, I never played those, and then I heard that people would have to, like, leave it with their parents. Because
right,
you
have to feed it, right?
It.
And it's dead. It's like it was like a little keychain thing, right?
Yeah. But you had to be constantly taking care of it. And, you know, schools wouldn't let them play with it in class. So you had to leave it with your parents.
And then they die.
Or they would die.
Yep. 1998, the Furby. Creepy. Creepy. Those things like talking in the middle of the night because they learn languages and stuff.
Yeah, like, they would talk to each other.
They would go, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the first things I remember that sort of blew up on the internet in the early days of the internet, and this is in 1998, which is, you know, pretty early in the internet days, was somebody did an autopsy on a Furby. Like, like cut it up and cut it in half just so it was on the insides and stuff. And they did it while it was still moving and the eyes were blinking and stuff. 1999, the Pokemon cards. And now we've got the Pokemon game. Man, that's what I get for playing this dumbass game. I remember, Dan, I went to go see the Pokemon movie like in late 1999 or whenever it came out or early 2000. And I went to see it just because I was going to review it. And I literally freaked out during it. I didn't know what the hell was happening. It freaked the hell out of me.
I
know I'm sitting there going, what is this? What am I watching? I mean, that movie had a more profound effect on me than Eraserhead. Like, it freaked me out more than Blue Velvet. That's what it. The Razor scooter in 2000, man, remember when those things were big?
And then morons were going down the sidewalk riding them.
Yeah, adults.
Yeah.
Adults like, would
I'm,
be riding.
I have to get to work.
Yeah, man.
It's like, okay, no.
And Pogo Stick in 2001. The Fur Real Cat in 2002. Robo Sapiens 2003. 2004, Nintendo DS. 2005, the Xbox 360. 2006, PlayStation 3. 2007, the iPod Touch. 2008, Nintendo Wii. 2009, Zuzu Pets. I got a couple more here. We'll go up to 2012. 2010, the iPad. 2011, LeapPad Explorer. And 2012, the Wii U. It's amazing how everything right around the early 2000s became all electronic. Like every single popular toy for about 9 years in a row had all been just electronic, and that's probably the case this year too. So, all right. All right. I still say best way to have fun, get an axe and a golf ball, go to Dan Long's garage and start chopping. That's what every 11-year-old should do. All right, we'll take a break. The news is next.